You're listening to Radio Hangar Aviation Talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey everybody, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we're talking about something that has humbled more pilots than crosswinds and short fields combined: density altitude. Now, before you tune out thinking this is just another dry weather theory lesson, let me tell you why I'm bringing this up right now. Summer is coming, and every single year without fail, we see accident reports come out of places like Colorado, Arizona, Idaho, anywhere with elevation and heat. Pilots who planned everything right on paper but forgot to account for what the air was actually doing that day. So let's walk through this together, not just the theory. We're going to do a real weather briefing walkthrough so you can see exactly how density altitude sneaks up on you. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's start with the basics and build from there. Density altitude is the altitude at which your airplane thinks it's flying, not where you actually are. Not the number on your altimeter, it's the performance altitude, and it's driven by three things: temperature, pressure, and humidity. When it's hot, when pressure is low, or when moisture is high, the air gets thin. Your engine makes less power. Your propeller bites less air. Your wings generate less lift. Everything your airplane does, it does worse. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Your airplane doesn't care what the field elevation says on the chart. It only cares about the density of the air molecules going over the wings and into the intake. On a standard day at sea level, 59 degrees Fahrenheit, 29.92 inches of mercury, density altitude equals field elevation. But how often do we get a standard day? Almost never. Let me paint you a picture. Let's say you're planning a flight out of Leadville, Colorado, Lake County Airport,
the highest public use airport in North America. Field elevation is 9,634 feet, already high. Now it's July, it's 2 in the afternoon. The temperature is 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
Let's do what you should actually do before this flight. Let's pull a weather briefing. You check the ETs. Automated weather is reporting temperature 82 Fahrenheit, which is about 28 Celsius. Altimeter setting is 30.02. Winds are light and variable. Sounds like a beautiful day, right? Now let's figure out your density altitude. You can use your E6B, electronic or manual, you can use the chart in the pilot's operating handbook, or you can use a density altitude calculator online. But let me walk you through the math conceptually. First, you correct for non-standard pressure. With an altimeter setting of 30.02, that's slightly above standard, so pressure altitude is going to be just a hair below field elevation. Let's call it roughly 9,500 feet pressure altitude. Now the temperature. Standard temperature at 9,500 feet would be about minus 4 degrees Celsius. We're at 28 Celsius. That is 32 degrees above standard. Every degree Celsius above standard adds roughly 120 feet to your density altitude. 32 times 120, that's about 3,800 feet. Add that to your pressure altitude of 9,500. You're looking at a density altitude of approximately 13,300 feet. Let that sink in. 13,300 feet. Your Cessna 172, your Piper Cherokee, these airplanes were designed to perform well at sea level. At 13,000 feet of density altitude, you might have lost 30 to 40% of your engine's rated horsepower. Your climb rate could be down to 200 or 300 feet per minute, maybe less if you're heavy. And here's where it gets real. Your takeoff roll is going to be dramatically longer. That runway that's normally plenty of room, it might not be enough. Your climb gradient after takeoff might not clear the terrain. And if you need to go around on landing, you might not have the performance to do it. So, what does a good weather briefing look like when density altitude is a factor? Let me walk you through my process. Step 1. Check the current MATAR and TAAF for your departure and destination airports, but don't just glance at the ceiling and visibility. Look hard at that temperature and altimeter setting. If you're flying in the afternoon during summer months, expect temperatures to be at their peak.
Step 2. Calculate your density altitude. Do it for departure, for your destination, and for any alternates. Don't guess. Actually run the numbers. Step 3. Go to your pilot's operating handbook. Open it up to the takeoff distance chart, the climb performance chart, and the landing distance chart. Use the density altitude you just calculated, your actual aircraft weight, and the wind conditions. Be honest about the weight. Don't fudge it. If you've got 4 adults, full fuel, and bags in the back, put the real number in there. Step 4. Compare your required takeoff distance to the available runway. And here's a critical point. Add a safety margin. The numbers in the POH were generated by test pilots in a brand new airplane on a dry, paved runway. Your airplane probably isn't brand new. The runway might have gravel or might be slightly uphill. A common rule of thumb is to add 50% to the book numbers. If the POH says you need 2,000 feet to clear a 50-foot obstacle, plan on needing 3,000. Step 5.
check the terrain. Even if you can get off the ground, can you outclimb the terrain around the airport? Pull up a sectional chart. Look at the contour lines. Are there rising terrain or obstacles in your departure path? At 13,000 feet density altitude with a climb rate of 200 feet per minute, that ridgeline 3 miles off the departure end of the runway might be a real problem.
Now,
the examiner is looking for you to understand this stuff on your check ride. The Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilots specifically call out density altitude under the performance and limitations area of operation. You need to be able to calculate it, you need to understand how it affects performance, and you need to be able to make a go or no-go decision based on it. But more importantly than passing a check ride, this is about keeping yourself alive. Let me give you some practical rules that I fly by. Fly early in the mountains during summer. The best flying is early morning. Temperatures are lower, density altitude is lower, thermals haven't kicked up yet. If you're departing a high-altitude airport, plan for a sunrise departure, not a 2 p.m. departure.
Fly light. If density altitude is a concern, reduce weight. Take less fuel if your range allows it. Leave a bag behind. Maybe that fourth passenger catches the next flight. Weight is one of the few variables you can directly control. Lean the mixture. At high-density altitudes, your engine needs a leaner mixture to produce maximum power. Check your POH for the proper leaning procedure for takeoff at high-altitude fields. Many pilots forget this and leave significant power on the table. Some POHs call for full rich on takeoff regardless, but many high-performance and even training aircraft have specific procedures for leaning at altitude. Know what yours says. Know when to say no. This is the biggest one. If the numbers don't work, don't go. I don't care if you drove 4 hours to get to the airport. I don't care if your passengers are expecting to be somewhere. If your calculated takeoff distance exceeds the available runway with your safety margin, you stay on the ground, period. You wait for cooler temperatures. You offload weight. You find another way. No flight is worth the risk. One more thing, humidity. We didn't talk much about it because most density altitude calculators and E6B computations don't directly account for it. But humid air is less dense than dry air. That might seem counterintuitive because water feels heavy. But water vapor molecules are actually lighter than the nitrogen and oxygen molecules they displace. So on a hot, humid day, your actual performance will be slightly worse than even your density altitude calculation suggests. It's not a huge factor, but it's worth knowing about, especially at airports that are already marginal. I want to leave you with a scenario to think about. You're planning a weekend trip to a mountain airport. Field elevation is 6,500 feet. Forecast high temperature for your arrival time is 90 degrees Fahrenheit. You're in a Cessna 172 with 3 adults and luggage. The runway is 5,000 feet long with trees on the departure end. Before your next flight, sit down and actually run those numbers. Calculate the density altitude. Look up the takeoff performance. Figure out your climb rate. Then ask yourself, would I go? If you do the math and the answer is no, congratulations. You just made the best aeronautical decision you can make, the one that keeps you around to fly another day. All right, folks, that is going to do it for today's episode of Traffic Pattern. This segment drew on information from the Federal Aviation Administration's Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, specifically chapters on weather and aircraft performance. I also referenced guidance from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, who put out excellent density altitude safety resources every summer. And of course, the Airman Certification Standards published by the FAA. As always, Radio Hangar is proudly AI-generated content built by people who love aviation and want to help you become a better, safer pilot. If you want to dig deeper into any of the topics we cover, come visit us at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Go run those numbers before you run that runway. See you next time. Radio Hangar, keep the blue side up.